Good morning, and welcome to our 12th and final session of The Blessing. I've enjoyed these 12 sessions, or this being the 12th session, and I trust that it has meant a lot to you as well. Today, we're going to be talking about The Blessing is Ours. And we're not talking about The Blessing is Ours sometime in the future, in heaven even. We're talking about it is ours today. So let's do a quick review, because last week we looked at how the blessed Son of Man, our Lord Jesus, was blessed and operated in the blessing, and that was the biggest worry that the devil had. So let me read from Genesis 1:28, this last session, once again. Then God blessed them, talking about Adam and Eve, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And what have we said about that? That blessing, those words of power, the word of his power spoken was for all men for all time. And so if that's the case, then what can we take away today? It is still valid for us. We would say it this way. It's his will for us. It's his desire for us. Now we talked about how can you imagine the devil worrying for 4,000 years or so how this was going to come about, which the Lord spoke to him in Genesis 3:15 when talking to Eve and to the serpent. He told the serpent, "He shall bruise," talking about the one coming, "your head." Now he knew, because he had talked to Eve about seed, that it was going to come through mankind. So there was a man, he thought, coming who would crush his head. As some translations say, the only thing he didn't, that he really knew about it was coming through the bloodline of Abraham. Now, if he'd known what it really meant, then he'd have never crucified Jesus, but he didn't. He's not omniscient. And this is what it was coming to accomplish, this prophetic word to Isaiah. In 10:27, it says that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke, I would say, of being bound by sin and all of its impact will be destroyed. Why or how? Because of the anointing oil. Now, the anointing oil is often associated with Holy Spirit. So sin and all of its evil byproducts have already, because of what Jesus has done, what we celebrated this past weekend, has been removed from our account. It has no rule of us if we have accepted the Lord Jesus. Now, back to Jesus living on the earth. What would be flourishing in him if sin and its byproducts were not? Well, the blessing would have. The blessing was upon Jesus. It flourished upon him. And that anointing is how the blessing came on him, when the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now later in Luke, we see that the angels come to earth and they're proclaiming the news that the devil didn't want to hear. This is why he killed so many children right after Jesus' birth, the young boys. The angels said, "Good news for all people." Again, proclaiming his coming and what was going to be done in this coming that we just read in Isaiah 10. He said, "Goodwill toward man." His will, his desire, as we mentioned earlier, toward man. What is it even today? It's for the blessing. So goodwill toward men. And it was coming to us because the yoke had been broken. He also said, and I'll mention it since for maybe someone who hasn't heard me say this before, but he said, "Peace on earth." And I heard so many people this weekend saying Jesus came for peace on earth. But they're referring to wars. But that's not what this is saying. This is saying there is no longer enmity, there's no longer anything, any war between heaven and the people, his people, on earth. Now, who does that come to? Just those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus. But when this happened then, and Jesus was on the earth, people saw that he was operating in a divine way. And I would say it this way, because the anointing was on him, he was operating in the blessing of the Lord. We know that he did not do it as deity, because we saw in Philippians 2, a New Living Translation says it this way, in just a few phrases, Verse 7, he gave up his divine privileges. He gave up his godly powers. He goes on to say he died a criminal's death, a sinner's death on the cross. So I would ask then, well, how did he live his life and do all that he did? Well, what did he say in Luke 4, 18 and 19? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he also said in 19 that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Now, this is from the New Living. The time of the Lord's desire, the time of the Lord's grace has now come. And so what was happening to him? The blessing was manifesting in fullness through him via the Holy Spirit, that anointing that came upon him. Galatians 3:16 tells us, again, about Abraham, it says, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say into seeds, but as of many, but as one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Now, what does Christ mean? The anointed one. So it was through this anointing that Jesus was able to operate in the Spirit. And we're going to see that this in Christ is so important to why we can do that today. So the blessing is ours today. Now let's go to Galatians 3, 13 and 14. These are familiar scriptures, but I want you to read this in context of the blessing, or listen in context of the blessing. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now, if we're not living under a curse, what are we living under? Go ahead and say, the blessing. 14 continues, says, he did that so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. That's us. And I would ask how? And look at these next three words. In Christ Jesus. So the blessing didn't just come directly to us. It's coming to us via or in our relationship with Christ Jesus. It goes on to say how this happens, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it's by believing in this that we've received the promise of the Spirit. I'll say for the first time, our union with Jesus, as the Spirit has come to dwell in us. So as we receive the promise of the Spirit, and the blessing is coming to us in or through Christ Jesus, then what should that tell us? Well, it says that my spirit is joined with the Holy Spirit to be one spirit. Now, that is going to become very, very important for us. Verses 8 and 9 in that same chapter said just before these verses that we read, that the scripture foreseen that God would justify the Gentiles, that's us, by faith. So again, by believing, not by our actions, nothing we can do to earn it. Preach the good news, the gospel, to Abraham beforehand, saying this, in you shall all nations be blessed. So here again, we're seeing the Lord's desire was for all people to do it. But we're beginning to see it only happens for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And then look at verse 9. So then those who are of faith, you and me, are blessed with believing Abraham. Now we're going to ask the question, how? Well, I'll just say real quickly right now. It's not because of something we did, but it's because we are blessed and we are in Christ Jesus, blessed with the Spirit. And now we're in Christ Jesus, and we're going to see how believing or faith plays such a key role in it. Romans 8, 16 and 17 reads this way. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, or I would say for me, my spirit. In other words, it's saying and reaffirming what I have in this union. It says that He bears witness that we are children of God. And then if we are children, 17 says, then we're heirs. Heirs of God. So we get to inherit those things that God has for us. But then it goes on to say, and don't read through that and we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And it goes on and says, if we suffer with him, which we did, he suffered for us through his death on the cross, that we'll also be glorified with him. But let me just focus this on joint heirs with Jesus. What is that saying? That what Jesus gets, him being glorified, that we also get it. And you say, how? How in the world could that apply to me? I didn't say it did. The Word says it did. Let me read you the New Living. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. Here's the part I like in this one. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. And part of that glory, the Holy Spirit, is the blessing. Ephesians 1:3 just reinforces this more. It tells us, and this is from New King James, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, don't hear this as it's just things that are going to happen in heaven. He's saying we're blessed today on this earth, but we're blessed with all of heaven's blessings, all the goodness of heaven, the fullness of that blessing. You know, why are we reading these verses? Because I want faith to begin to build in you. And how does faith come? By hearing the Word, and the Word of Christ, it says, or the Word anointed, which is, again, what Christ means. John 1:1, then, says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, when I read that and know that it's talking about Jesus being the Word, then what are we saying? That when God spoke the blessing, he was empowering Jesus, who is that Word, to manifest the blessing, and it's still God's good will toward us, his people, for us to also, being joint heirs with Jesus, manifest that blessing. Now, we cannot forget, and I'm just very reminded, I'm mindful of this because of Easter. At Clint's church, my oldest son, they had a record crowd yesterday. But he posted on Facebook, those numbers were impressive, but that's not the numbers that mattered. They had 81, I believe, that may be close, it may have been a little higher, but about that number of people who either rededicated or were born again or committed to spending their life more closely with the Lord Jesus. And I say that to say, that's the Father's heart, that he wants all men to walk in the fullness of this blessing. So when we see that the Word declares the blessing in ours, then you may have a question. Well, how do I live in a manner such that it manifests in my life? Now, very basic in what we're saying here. We could teach this for days, and some of it may come later this year. But the first thing we have to do is believe it. Just like Abraham was made righteous by his faith, so are we made righteous by faith. But we also have to believe that what? He's given us every spiritual promise in the heavenlies for now. So we have to believe it. But then we have to let that Word take first place in our lives. Romans 8:5 gives us a view of what happens to a man who is born again, because this is written to Romans, but who keeps living in the old way. It says, Romans 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh, according to the carnal ways of this world, set their minds on things of the flesh. So they look to the flesh for everything. But those who live according to the Spirit, this new creation that we have become, when we live according to that, the things of the Spirit become ours. So when we live according to the Spirit, what is that really saying? That we're living according to faith in His Word. Faith in Jesus, who is the Word. But it's also by the faith of Jesus that we've been given that same faith. So don't say, I can't do that. We can. We feed our heart. We get it down in our heart. And faith comes as we do that. Now, I would say it this way. God's spoken word of the blessing, which manifested in Jesus, we are also joint heirs with Him by being in Him in connection with the Holy Spirit. And when we are having faith in what His Word says about the blessing belonging to me and believing that it is my inheritance, that's what's opening the door for us to begin to receive. You know, it's no different receiving the blessing in its operation than it is receiving Christ Jesus. What does Ephesians 2:8 says? For by grace, which means by a free gift from God, nothing we could do to earn it, but by believing in Jesus, by grace we've been saved through faith. Again, by believing in Jesus, by believing His Word, since He is the Word. And we cannot say, I believe Jesus, but I don't believe the Word, because the Bible says they're the same. So we have to elevate the Word, just as God elevated the Word above His name. Well, let me finish that. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So it's a free gift, but we have to have it manifest by what? By believing it. Now, Proverbs is the book of wisdom. So just listen to Proverbs 4, 20 through 24. Again, these are very common verses for many of us, something we read frequently. But I want you to read it in terms of the blessing being operating in your life and how it operates through these verses. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. That's saying do this continuous basis. And it doesn't mean 24 hours a day. We have to sleep, so don't get legal. It says keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of our heart. How do we do that? We mutter them. We think about it. Just like He told Joshua to meditate in that word. That word means to mutter. Just say it over and over to yourself. My son, give attention to my words. Pretty direct. Not a suggestion, but a requirement. Incline your ear to my sayings. I mean, tune yourself into God. And here's why. For they are life to those who find them, and are health to all their flesh. Now, that to me is saying we're supposed to live that God kind of life, which is the fullness of the blessing. 23 closes by saying, keep your heart with all diligence. So guard these things that we're putting in our heart. Don't let something take it away from us. For out of it spring the issues of life. That's how the blessing flows. Now, our experiences and our thoughts, as we focus on the world or as we concern ourselves with the world, will always contradict the Word of God. But what this is telling us, that His Word on us walking in the blessing must always be the final arbiter of what we believe concerning the blessing. Anything that contradicts the blessing, concerning the blessing or other promises or other commands that we're given, they're just wrong. The Word is what we live by, and it produces the blessing by the power of the Spirit in our life. It is that seed that has been planted in our heart, the Word being planted in our heart, our spirit, which is also what? Joined in union with God's Spirit. And that's what 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us. Remember, it tells us, don't you know that you're a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And another verse says we're joined, that we saw. So then we get down to, okay, I understand all that, I think, but what is my part? Well, it goes down to, how did God release His power in Genesis? And it's the only way He has released it. He spoke it. Mark 4:14 says, the sower sows the word. So that word has been sown in our heart. It is good ground. It has gotten in there and it's producing. How does it produce? What does it produce? Well, what it produces is what we believe we will speak. And that's affirmed by Mark 6:45, which says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, one that we guard after it's been planted, the word's been planted there, brings forth good fruit. And an evil man, now evil here is just regarding one who's living carnally, out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. And here's how we know. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you believe, what you say when difficult times become, that's what we believe. And we want to get this blessing in our heart so that we're saying, I'm blessed, I'm not cursed. I walk in the fullness of God's blessing. And as we speak it, Jeremiah 1:12 tells us this. The Lord is saying to the prophets, you've seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Now, other translations say, I am watching over my word. I'm listening for it. The Lord is inclining his ear for his word to come out of our mouth so that he can perform it. And we've got to be bold in that, because a lot of this with the blessing, sometimes we think, well, gosh, what are people going to say? You know, when I'm declaring this, and if it doesn't happen right away, they're going to think I'm foolish. We cannot allow any of those kind of thoughts to come to us that we mutter and meditate on, because then that's going to be what comes out of our mouth and holds up the blessing that we have. We just need to remember this. The Lord loved me so much that he's put me in union with the very Spirit of God. That, to me, is the epitome of grace. So in doing this bold confessing that we walk in the blessing, then we can't be fearful. If we tolerate it and don't tolerate it, then we're really allowing our faith to be contaminated, because fear that we tolerate will contaminate our faith. Now, how does this, what was the basis for all this flowing to us, for all this grace toward us, for the blessing toward us? It's because he first loved us. And I'll just give you three words out of 1 Corinthians 13:8, New King James, just says, love never fails. So as we walk in his love, it's not about just how much we love him back. As we understand his love and that reciprocal love flows back to him, then this is how and this is why the blessing comes upon us and produces in our life as we release his word. Listen to the Amplified on this verse. Love never fails. And just like his word of the blessing spoken in Genesis 1 that we read today and about 10 or 11 times or other times, love never fails, the Amplified says. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. His word concerning the blessing spoken in love over his man is alive today and can be as productive today in you and I as it was in all the people we looked at. From Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from David, our Lord Jesus, all of these people who had that heart toward God and who were believing him in faith. Saints, we are the blessed of the Lord. It's for today, not just the sweet by and by, meaning in heaven we'll get it all. And I just want to read once more Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's just saying as we bless him, we make him larger in our eyes. Who has, and then it says, blessed us. He's spoken his words of love over us. And he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My prayer for you today is you see this as yours. And that you be able to say, as Paul prayed concerning himself, that he walk in the fullness of this blessing each and every day of our lives on earth. I hope you've enjoyed this series. I want today to build faith in your heart that we walk in the fullness of the blessing. It belongs to us. It is ours. And I'm so thankful for it. I look forward to hearing of the testimonies that we're going to hear from you. We love you and thank you, and we'll be with you again next week.